Okay. Welcome back to season two of the podcast, where we're having candid conversations, open, honest, vulnerable conversations from people, friends, and clients that I admire. Our intention here is to educate and empower you. We are unscripted, we are live, and today I am diving in with Carly. Carly is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, personal trainer, yoga teacher, and stripper in Portland, Oregon. Her training philosophy is built on well-rounded wellness, honoring the body, mind, and spirit. She's an advocate for sex positivity, openly sharing her journey as a stripper, as well as being diagnosed with HSV as a teenager and her journey to radical self-love. Yes! So if you want to say anything more about yourself, feel free, and then we can dive into how we know each other.
I think that hits the nail on the head. I'm really excited to see what comes up in our conversation today. I'm so excited we finally got to connect too.
Yes, this is our first time actually like having a face-to-face talk or like a chat. We've chatted just a tiny bit on Instagram. We've tried to meet up a couple times and it just hasn't worked out. And I believe it was, is my friend Sasha and like told me about you essentially. Are you also friends with Sasha? I wasn't sure if it was a mutual connection.
I think it was literally, she was like new of both of us and was like, I think you guys would really get along, because she just like tagged your Instagram in a DM, and that was how I was introduced to you.
Okay, yeah, she's a little matchmaker. She's good with that stuff.
It's a fun gift to have, bringing people together.
Yes, absolutely. All kinds of relationships, right? So yeah, I just love to know a little bit more about your story. How did you, like, I guess maybe as a multi-passionate entrepreneur, what was the first path that kind of came up for you?
Stripping was the first one. So stripping, I started that back in 2012. I was 21 years old, newly 21. I wanted to wait until I was 21. So I definitely had sat on it for a little bit before deciding to move forward with it. I had a slew of desk jobs and service industry jobs, and just knowing of Portland being well known for dancing. It's the strip club capital of the world. We have more strip clubs per capita than anywhere else in the world. So it's very alive. It's very colorful. It's not as taboo here. Of course, there still is taboo around it, but the dancers are held to a high standard here. So yeah. That was my first stint with entrepreneurial work and just being able to make my own schedule. And I loved it. Loved the freedom, the community. It brought a lot of freedom and just opportunity to my life.
Okay. Yeah. Well, admittedly, for people that don't No, because they wouldn't. I reached out to you because this is part of what I really wanted to talk to you about today, is your stripping journey. I have never shared, I don't think I've ever mentioned that I've always been interested in this industry. There's just, it's like that line of like holding integrity and empowerment within myself as a woman in an over-sexualized world. And I guess I just never felt like how I could balance that. I had other friends that had gotten into dancing and they also, you know, became very entranced by the money and the opportunity and also spiraled into drugs, unfortunately. And I'm very, very curious how, especially how you navigate that empowerment. Because okay. The way you talk about it on your social media and you share so openly, and like there is taboo about it, but I feel like you just bring it forward like just with all this strong, amazing energy, and I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would definitely have to owe a lot of that to the women I was surrounded by and the performers that I had the opportunity to dance with. A lot of women that I still hold on to the highest regard. But I would definitely say I struggled with the alcohol and the cocaine and, you know, the little that kind of sneak into the club. And it is definitely about balance. And I would have to say one of the reasons why I had to kind of take a step back from the party side of it was because of my HSV. I was diagnosed with herpes back in 2007 when I was 17. And the outbreaks were just, you know, becoming a little more consistent, and, you know, the late nights, not taking care of myself, just kind of caught up to me. So if it weren't for that piece of the puzzle, you know, I'm not sure how long I would have continued dancing or how healthy it would have been. But either way, I'm grateful for the lessons that each have taught me and have got me. That was kind of my funnel into fitness. That I couldn't dance forever. And my body was also constantly reminding me that I couldn't dance forever. And so that was kind of how I transitioned into fitness.
Cool. I don't even remember. We're just chatting. But you did mention the HSV part, so I'm curious, do you mind just briefly explaining what that is exactly for anybody that doesn't know listening? And
sure. So HSV stands for herpes simplex virus. I have HSV2, that's genital herpes, really fun to say. So I was diagnosed with that when I was 17, and it was a really long journey. You know, I'm 29 now, and I would say probably around 27 is where I really started to take responsibility for my health and my just mental well-being and the balance of all of that. So yeah, HSV has taught me a lot about myself, my resilience and self-love, acceptance, all of that. And then in turn, being able to share that with others, just being more compassionate for adversity all around.
Right.
And it's been like a portal, truly. I mean, it's with connecting with people, like when someone shares with you their diagnosis, like, and having that in common, really has a way of connecting you, because that's a really thing to have in common and a scary thing to share, and has been a real lesson in vulnerability. So,
wow, I can only imagine. I honestly don't know, like, that is just completely foreign to me. Like, I don't know anything except, like, you can imagine a couple things that might pop up when you say genital herpes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, anything that you might just want to, like, where does the empowerment of that come from? And how did you start, like, finding that within yourself to realize that, like, you can live with this and it doesn't have to be something that you identify with or that determines who you are?
Runs your whole fucking life?
Yeah.
Pretty slow. Let me tell you, it ran my life for a couple of years.
Okay.
Because I was dancing, and as you can imagine, it's really uncomfortable to work with, and work around, I guess I should say. Empower it. So hold on. What was the question again?
Just like how, 'cause it's so vulnerable. How did you, like, start to transition into realizing, like, this doesn't have to run my life and that you can kind of, like, be on top of it more, the empowered piece?
Honestly, it was like, I was still looking into ways of how to expand my business, and I was taking a course, and the instructor was saying, like, as far as, like, social media and how to use the platform to its, like, most powerful levels is to share your scariest secret. Like, share, like, how, like, something that you've overcome or, like, your deepest, darkest secret. And I was like, well, that's fucking easy. Like, obviously, I never want anyone to know that I had herpes. So I was trying out a supplement called Balance by Alani Nutrition. Highly suggested, but do your research. And so I just did a quick little blurb on my Insta story and was just like, hey, everybody, I'm trying out this new supplement. It's really helping me. I think it'd be helpful for others, because my page is really around, like, the feminine, and whether that be, like, anatomy or feminine flow or whatever it is. And so I just kind of blurbed. I was like, actually, so I'm using this to, because I've tried everything else, and I'm trying to get my herpes under control. And even just saying that in, like, a 10-second little thing, I got so many responses from all genders, just, whoa, like, me for sharing that and, you know, telling me that they had had it too. A lot of people are disclosing to, like, I'm the only person that they know, you know, that knows. So, it just kind of like, again, opened another portal of people being able to connect, with me and me with them. And then I was like, holy shit, I see a big opportunity to help people just by sharing my story.
Yeah. And,
it was very empowering, very validating, and very healing for me as well, just being able to talk through it and know that I'm not alone. And then doing that double positive of doing the same for whoever was listening.
Yeah, I can resonate with that so much. I feel like that's been a lot of what, just like my social media journey, and then realizing like, oh, there's a whole community of people out here that want to connect and talk about common things that we think we're alone on.
Yeah. And like real things, real life things. And I feel like that's kind of been nice that Instagram has kind of changed a little bit, where people want like not so filtered, not so picture perfect, like, you know, the real stuff, the deep nitty gritty.
It's really fascinating to see the shift happening. And like, especially with people wanting to see like, just like a cell phone selfie rather than all these professional photos and things like that. How do you feel like it's been navigating those, like being real on social media? Cause it's challenging to meet other people. They are slowly coming out more and more, but I still think it's kind of few and far between, you know?
Yeah, I think it's definitely about balance, because I still like those professional pictures, you know?
And oh, now, yeah, same.
Grid, and you're like, oh, I gotta like bounce out. Like, I need a selfie here and then a full body there. And then I'm at the gym here, and then I gotta be like doing yoga there, you know? And so,
yeah.
Definitely about everything is just balance. It's a constant, you know, ebb and flow. And then just like, giving yourself permission to play, just no, you don't need anyone else's permission other than your own, you know? And so just kind of releasing and giving a little more into the feminine flow and not being in the masculine, like everything has to be like, you know, that kind of like rigid.
Yeah.
Okay? Just giving yourself permission to play and be creative and seeing what happens. And then just always trusting that, you know, when you show up authentically, then you're going to be able to connect with people like you or whoever else. Like once you kind of like put that out, kind of cast that net, then you're going to get a little more like better quality over quantity when it comes to connections or business or whatever it is.
Yes. Seriously. Let's just say that again. We're, like social media, we should be going for quality over quantity. Like who gives a fuck how many followers you have and all this engagement shit. Like how many people are you actually having conversations with or connecting with?
Meaningful stuff, like
yes,
I love the saying, people won't remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Yes.
Especially with just the state and weight of the world and where we're at right now, kind of trying to remind myself of like what my role is, and like why do people come to my Instagram page, or why did they before? And it's I think a lot of it was to be uplifted and, you know, positivity and self-love. And so trying to stay informed, but also finding joy and gratitude in life. And yeah, so still just trying to exude that same energy while still being a little more realistic.
Yeah, that's, I was just having conversation with a friend about like the spiritual bypassing, and rather than just positive vibes only, it's like taking it down a notch and really diving into that. The realness, as you're saying, the real.
I just was introduced to that term, and I'm like, yes, because I used to be that kind of person too. Like
me too.
positive vibes only, and like, you know, stay posy and all that. And then, I still struggle with that because I have really high highs and then extremely low lows, because I don't let myself just move about feeling it. I always just, you know, I'm just like, nope, like happiness is a choice, you know?
Yeah.
Realizing that, I think too, just like with us getting older, you know, and coming even more into our adulthood, just being more realistic and being more informed, but then also knowing that there's still just as much good happening in the world, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that our like our emotion especially is what makes us human, and it's a gift to be able to experience this. But I just want to reiterate, like, I resonate with that so much. I've constantly swung between like the high highs and the low lows, and always just like, ooh, let's stay positive to a fault, unfortunately. Yep. But now we're here recognizing it, showing up.
No, and I mean, and it took a really good friend of mine to just be like, you know, it's okay to not be like happy all the time, you know? Like, it was a very simple statement that I was just like, he gave me that permission in that moment to just be like, no, I know that you've got this like happy-go-lucky reputation, but that's not sustainable. And I love what you said about like human emotion. Like, that is a gift. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And that is part of it, is working through those emotions and feelings.
Yes. Ooh, snaps to that. I love that.
That's one of my favorite quotes. It's like, Pierre Fell Hard said that. And I love it.
Well, what do you, like, was there any struggle in learning how to be vulnerable on social media? Because I also had a coach that was like, said the same thing to me. She was like, you just need to, I mean, I don't, she didn't say it, but it definitely felt like I was just airing all my dirty laundry, and to just like get vulnerable meant just sharing secrets about yourself. And I found that I was more than willing to just like put all this shit out on social media. And then at that time, I didn't have a following or anything. So it's like all people I know in real life. And then when they wanted to come and talk to me about these things that I'm mentioning, I like froze up and I didn't have the integrity.
Okay. So how was I able to get vulnerable on social?
Yeah. Like how was that bridge for you? Because what I personally found that it didn't necessarily align with this. Like, it took some time for me to be able to stumble into my integrity and like true authenticity. And whereas like, 'cause for many years I was just showing like the good stuff, you know, and like sugarcoating everything essentially, and really not talking about my struggles and feeling a lot of guilt and shame.
Yeah, I would say that's, again, just like the finding of the balance, like especially now with just not wanting to take up unnecessary space, just, you know, becoming more and more aware of my whiteness and my feeling of like everything I say is important. Like, everybody listen to me. You know what I mean? I'm like, should I get a journal for this post or should I share it? You know what I mean? Like, do I just need to get this off of my chest or do I really need to be taking up space and sharing it? And even now I'm also like, I've written like two posts in the last 2 months, which actually feels nice that it's not like on my to-do list.
Yeah.
I had written a post, and you know, it's also like, I like to meditate. I've been doing yoga for many years, lots of Kundalini yoga. I've done a couple plant medicine journeys. And so, you know, I like to stay in contact with my spirit guides and with my ancestors and whoever wants to like come in. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm like, was that like, because a lot of the times too, I'm a very like intuitive person. I like to base my way I approach life is like intuitively and off feelings. And I've been trying to work more with facts and logistics, you know?
Yeah.
The other day I was writing this post about vibrations and frequencies and how our food holds vibrations, and whether that's like karmically or calorically, nourishment or just like energetically, like we are taking in that food's energy, whether it's like a blueberry, and blueberries have like the history of, you know, being very resilient to the elements, or if I'm choosing to eat meat, like where did that meat come from? Were they happy? Were they scared? You are taking that in, right? Mm. I was writing this and then I was like, you know, I know all of or I, you know, I don't say, I know all of this, but I feel like I have kind of downloaded this over the years, you know, it's just something that I've just kind of come to learn and agree with. But I was like, we need to give credit where credit is due. So then I started doing some more research about like, where did this originate? You know, this idea vibrations and frequencies and karma through food and, you know, the power of speech and words and how we speak to ourselves. And like, words are like boomerangs and we send it out into the universe and then they come back at us, you know, and we get what we give. And so I was trying to do research on where that has all come from before I just kind of post this, because I'm a white woman who's done yoga and now, like, you know, I don't want to present it like it's my own thoughts, because obviously I picked it up from somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's come to find out it's thousands and thousands of years old. Like, even like the Egyptians spoke about frequencies and vibrations, and it's science. It's literally scientifically proven.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. So I think even like today, I'm definitely like kind of reevaluating how I want to show up in the space, how I can be genuine and authentic and continue to be vulnerable, but also be a place of like source-based facts, you know, like it's totally okay. Like, that's why I like social media too in the past. And I've built a lot of my career on just sharing my story. Cause I'm like, well, no one can tell me that I'm wrong because, or no one can call me out because I'm just sharing my experience. So you can't tell me that's what I didn't experience, because it is. But, you know, as I'm getting a little more into like wanting to be like a professional, you know, not just like, I don't want to be an influencer or just a personal trainer, but I want to be like a fitness professional that people come to for like real facts, and not like coming from a place of intuition is awesome. But I also want to have like that intellect and those facts to back my statements.
Yeah. Like fusing both and bringing it together. And I hear you kind of describing a beautiful blend between the masculine and feminine.
Yeah, it's my battle. And I definitely like felt like I was in like this masculine drilling in the first year and a half of building my personal training business. And now this last year and a half, I've been trying to find the feminine. And then it's like, it's just that battle of the balance. But even just like little things, like, you know, I used to wear black all the time. It's the only thing I would wear. And now I'm trying to wear like pastels and pink and just kind of like, you know, have a little more fun with it.
Yeah. Switch it up.
Yeah.
So you had said that from stripping, the next kind of path that you had split into was fitness. You started exploring that. Do you want to kind of talk about that journey at all? Because I also, my journey started with fitness. I became a personal trainer. Well, I went to culinary school. I always skip that part. I went to culinary school and then I became a personal trainer. And I mean, I was just plunged headfirst into weight loss and then heavy lifting and Olympic lifting. And then sure enough, diet culture, big time in the diet culture. And I feel like they're so fused. And you also just so beautifully encompass now like this whole wellness sphere. Like, we're talking mind, body, and spirit. But did you also start kind of more in like this classic sense of fitness, or like, would you mind just sharing your journey with that?
So I was stripping full time. I was in a lot of pain. Always had like shoulder injury, low back injury, just from doing repetitive movements and twists and going upside down night after night with not having any like mobility or
cross training.
Yeah, exactly. And so my family knows that I was stripping. And so they were also like, what's your plan? What's your plan? What's your plan?
Yeah.
Body was also like, what's your plan? So I just was like, all right, I'm going to get a personal trainer because I should have one to make sure this is something that I want to do. And that was a lot of fun, because then I was kind of like, oh, this is just like, you know, this is like research. And so I started working with a trainer, and I worked with him for 2 years and I loved it. And we did, yeah, just, you know, your basic compound lifts, squat, bench, overhead press, deadlift. And I just loved it. And I loved the structure it gave me. I also loved that, you know, oh, I'm working with my trainer on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That means I can't drink Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, a little bit of accountability. I also got my black belt in Taekwondo when I was a teenager.
And wow. So
that's a fun fact. I did that for 5 years from 11 to 16. And so I had just always appreciated having that mind-body connection and having an outlet. And so I think for me, like, first and foremost, it was just like seeing what we're capable of, having that consistency. And then, I mean, fitness just like overflows into the rest of your life, you know?
It's yes.
That little seed that gets planted, and then, you know, you just had a kick-ass workout. So why would you then like go and choose something that isn't going to nourish you on a cellular level after you just pushed yourself? You know, it really does kind of like domino effect into other cups of our life. And so I really appreciated that aspect of it, that it was kind of like the center of the web that then kind of spiraled out in this beautiful way.
I love that image.
Yeah. So fitness has just always kind of been like my kind of like come back to, you know?
Yeah.
If you're having a bad day, having a good day, whatever it kind of be, it's just been a really nice way to ground down and come back into my body and celebrate what my body can do.
Yeah, rather than trying to like fit it into a certain box or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
How did it start transforming for you, or even just in general in your life, how did your path start to kind of unfold more into this like spirituality side? Did you grow up with that, or?
I have always been really into crystals. I've always really been into, I remember in high school, so I grew up in a Christian household. My parents weren't super into it, but my grandmother was. And my grandmother was a big part of my life. And so I went to a Christian private school, like chapel was like every day, Bible was a study, you know. And
Bible study, that's why I'm chuckling.
A subject, that's what I meant.
Oh, a subject, yes.
Bible was a study. And so once I started getting into high school, I remember when I was a kid, I was probably in like third grade, and I remember asking my teacher, I was like, okay, so we came from God, but where did God come from? And she was like, you just have to have faith. You just have to believe. He just always has been. And I'm like, okay. I just wasn't happy with that answer. And, that always kind of sat with me. And I think too, you know, it's like you're held at such like a high standard and expectation with Christianity, and then kind of seeing the people around me that I kind of saw in like this, like authority figures not upholding. So me kind of being like, well, why should I do that? You know?
Yeah.
So in high school, I started to get curious and I started reading about Buddhism. And just kind of saw the overlap of religions, and just kind of came to my own conclusion that, you know, every religion is powerful and is kind of the same. You know, it's pretty much like do unto others how you would want to be done unto you. And so I really took an interest into Buddhism. I started meditating. I started getting into yoga more, and then just kind of seeing how those two overlap and really seeing yoga as a way of life and a religion in itself, and not just like the workout I do on Sundays. And then just getting into tarot. And like I said, always just being drawn to crystals, not even knowing why, but just being like, oh, these are pretty and I want them. And then getting older, and I literally have like the crystal Bible that's like this thick. And
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also again, living in Portland where there is like rock chops and like, you know, a store called the Third Eye. I wish it was still.
Are you born and raised in Portland?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then also I think, you know, experimenting with psychedelics and kind of getting closer to God in that way, and like seeing how everything is connected. And again, with like the energies and vibrations, like I wouldn't take back any of my psychedelic experiences. And I'm like really itching for one right now. I'm like, it's the season.
It's summer. Summer 2020. You just moved into a new house.
I did. Look at this.
Oh, wow. I will say, I say that because anytime that I move into a new place, it's just like tradition to take mushrooms and kind of like christen the place and,
right, and connect with the space.
Yes, exactly. I haven't shared too openly or regularly about psychedelics myself, but mushrooms are absolutely a plant medicine that I attribute my life path to. No two ways about it.
Right? Oh, yes. I love to hear that. Yeah.
I had my first experience when I was 18. My boyfriend at the time, his sister's boyfriend, my boyfriend's sister's boyfriend was like, I have some mushroom chocolate and you guys can just like hang out at our house and we're going to be gone. And we were like, what? Like, what is this? And I just remember we ate those and the plants were dancing and I had like this out of body experience for a moment where I saw myself sitting across the room and that was wild. And then her boyfriend came home and he like cooked us some Rasta pasta and was playing music. And he was just like this crazy, like singing about, I'm trying to get away from saying crazy so much, but he was just had this wild voice singing about wizardry and the dance of the cosmos. And that for sure launched open my brain to like, what is life?
I have goosebumps. Yes. Like music on psychedelics. You're like, I get it.
Yes. Mushrooms have been, it's practically like a spiritual bypassing trip for me because I just get so high and on life, like fascinated about life and all these intricacies. And I can just see how everything's connected. And I get fascinated with the people we know and the way we influence each other and the things that we like and the way that we gather things for ourselves. And my heart just overflows with like all of this connection and that just realizing that this is life.
We love it. And especially like, do you ever play with words when you're high? Like, it's so fun.
Possibly. I'm not sure. What do you mean exactly?
Like we would like switch the first letter of a word with another word.
I feel like I do that anyway because I'm a little dyslexic brain.
Honestly too, I think it's more funny when you're high. So.
Of course. Yeah. 100. Well, tell me how you got into like your plant medicine journeys. How did that come about for you?
So let me think. Oh my God. I'm like, when's the first time I did mushrooms? I feel like I might have done, I think I did acid first. I just fucking went for it.
Oh.
It was always like a boyfriend, you know, it was like,
yeah,
I did acid at like Oregon Country Fair.
Cool. And I've been to OCF.
I remember one time it was homemade acid, which you guys, I would not say.
Don't do that. Know your drug dealers, know where you're getting it. Like, don't just go out randomly and get drugs. Like, know your shit.
Literally, it was an experiment. Boyfriend's brother. Oh my God. And and he was making DMT and acid. And I tried both of those things. Wow. And I mean, yeah, I just the patterns, you know, and just like the intrinsic patterns and like real, like for me, I'm like, these are everywhere all the time.
Visualizations. I'm just gonna say that for people that can't see you making the motion with your hands.
Patterns and yeah, the visuals, man. And like not even being able to see my hand in front of my face. I'm tripping so hard. And
whoa.
just being able to see, what's like the word I'm looking for? Not alternative universe, but like, cause
what are alternate dimensions?
Yes, dimensions, like, because we can only see in 3D, right?
Right.
And so, like, thinking of, like, the 5D and, like, the other, like, the spirit realm that's around us that we can't see, or
yes,
the other dimensions that are stacked on top of each other that we can't see. And this is also something that I romanticized this relationship because it was a toxic relationship, the one with the acid hookup. But I wouldn't take any of it back. And I had such a, it was really hard to get over that relationship because we had experienced those intense experiences. And I was like, how I had kind of been able to help myself get over that was, I was like, the reason why you're feeling so drawn to him and like have this longing is because in an alternative dimension, things worked out.
Oh. And so
there's this dimension next to you where you can kind of like, you're like, why am I being pulled towards this person when I know he's not good for me? And it's like, somewhere else it worked out, but not here, not this time.
Ooh, I like that perspective. I'm also going to offer, I've been thinking a lot about that too, as I'm shifting towards just being open towards dating again. And I've been hearing a lot about how we become super infatuated and excited and drawn to people that like aren't our best partners, and mm-hmm. that a healthy relationship comes with excitement but not infatuation.
Right. Not like that burning passion that's like, oh, we're burning a little too hot too fast.
The really good one that is really familiar and most of us probably know. Yeah, that one.
Like the best sex of your life, but
yep. Exactly.
Really based on that, you know?
Yes.
Those are fun. Every girl doesn't have one. I actually had a girlfriend over yesterday, just like another trying to kind of like make this place feel more like home. And I cooked a meal for her.
Aww.
Oh my God, I totally lost my train of thought.
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
Damn it.
Talking about relationships?
Right. Just as we were reflecting on our past relationships and like how, you know, it was like me and another girlfriend had like seen this other friend getting into this relationship, and we knew exactly what it was. You know, we're like, oh, but we were like, we had to take a step back. We're like, unfortunately, it's like a rite of passage. Everyone has to experience that kind of passionate, toxic, confusing, manipulative, gaslighting experience. So that you always just come out stronger from any adversity, and then just realizing what it is that you don't want.
Those are the biggest lessons from life. And I love to hate that that's really how I learn best, is by going, just diving in and realizing what didn't work and what I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I mean,
don't like is just as important as what you do.
Yes. Yes. And it's such a tool. And we wouldn't, without our struggles, we wouldn't be able to find our strengths. And it's like, I just like finding purpose and meaning in just about everything. I'm trying to watch my words, because I've always been a person that has said like everything happens for a reason, and I'm trying to sit with that more, because I've heard a lot of people kind of bringing that up, how that's like almost like spiritually bypassing in itself. But on some level, with the bigger picture of the universe and the intricate web of everything being connected, I just do believe that it's all working out in some way. And I don't know how it is, but I've built that trust muscle to be able to flex that just a little bit.
Ooh, trust muscle, flex it. That resonates with me a lot too, because I'm definitely that, I don't want to say I am, but I have definitely shared that experience where I'm like, everything happens for a reason, and just like trusting, you know, the flow and everything. I'm like really spacey today. I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm just going to say that resonates with me 100%. Like being like, everything happens for a reason, but also being like, am I saying that from a place of privilege? Because things have always kind of been easy for me, or things have always worked out. And then you look at people who are less fortunate. And it's like, that's like one of those where you're like, happiness is a choice. And they're just like, fuck you. Like,
if yeah.
That would be, that sounds really nice, but
yeah,
privilege of showing there with that one. So
exactly.
I mean, even if you like I really like to turn to the cosmos too, when I'm like, I am in a funk. Like I have to first, I check my flow app. Where am I at in my cycle?
Oh, good call.
And then I'm like, you know, what's happening in the stars is, you know, it's Cancer season right now. So I'm like, you know, if I'm feeling really emotional, I'm feeling really like watery, like I'm like, we're right on schedule. We're right on time. And so with everything happening in the world, like the cosmos do reflect that. Like you know, planets are in the same place that they were 400 years ago when, I don't want to say that for a fact, but things are unfolding.
Yeah. Well, and it's all these different pieces that we get to kind of just like bask in that ultimately can build this trust for ourselves. It's not over identifying with like, it's cancer season and that is why I'm emotional. There's always going to be a shit ton of reasons why that you're emotional, and this is a contributing factor.
And everything is just so complex. I think that's kind of what I was going to end with, that everything happens for a reason, is just learning that, just how complex human life is, and realizing that my thoughts and perspective can and does change from day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, as we're learning more and more and unlearning more, and just staying open to that. Like, stay open to the discomfort. That means you're onto something. That means you're growing.
Yes. I think where I really get tripped up with the everything happens for a reason is that, I mean, I had a challenging childhood for sure. And I also know lots of people that have gone through things that were much more challenging than my own experiences, and have found solace, like, and healing working through these things that have happened in our lives. But it doesn't quite feel right when I haven't had the personal experience of being abused or things like that, to that nature and to that level, to say that. And because it's not, hasn't been my personal experience. I do believe that it is possible, but I don't feel strong standing in that statement anymore.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And even just like how you had kind of caught yourself with like using words like crazy, you know, I definitely watch myself doing that too, or even just assuming someone's gender and just always referring to their, there's an easy one. Y'all's an easy one.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And I just think that, I think we live in such an exciting time to,
yes,
be able to have this fluidity and, you know, recognizing that this isn't something new. Non-binary, transgender, LGBTQ, it's not a new thing. Transgender people have been around for centuries and were seen as like healers and light workers, and
yes, I'm getting goosebumps, seriously. And even mental illness has been, and so many other cultures are viewed on like pedestals and people with like special gifts. I'm like, what? Like, we need to fucking wake up here in America. Like, these people are special. Every single person is special, and we need to get away from the disgusting white heterosis norm. I'm over it.
I was even just thinking about that the other day, because I talk to myself, I'll like talk out loud,
and
same, like public, super public places, but I'm like, more people should talk out loud to themselves, but like people probably don't, because like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm like, oh, you know. But I'm like, especially if like I find myself like spiraling out on a thought, I'm like building upon a story or putting myself down, whatever it is, I just literally will stop myself in my tracks and be like, what's going on? Just say it out loud. Myself laugh. I'm like, you're being dramatic, or you know,
yeah,
those stories up again.
I absolutely do that. And the more that I'm kind of diving into this self-love and self-empowerment, self-acceptance journey, I'm finding more and more that we, like, people talk to themselves. I've been having this conversation a lot lately. It is normal. We all do it. Let's just normalize talking to ourselves. Seriously, please.
Talk out loud. It doesn't sound ridiculous in your head. You like believe it, and then you say it out loud and you're like, okay, that's a little far-fetched, or okay, we don't need to be like harping on ourselves so hard.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to ode the radical self-love, just that term, to Sonia Renee Taylor.
She's an
amazing human being, and she wrote the book, and I want to say they. I believe she is she, her. They wrote the book, The Body Is Not an Apology, and it is a journey to radical self-love. And I highly suggest people read that. It's an easy read. It's, and it just touches on what we discussed, mental health, able, disabled bodies, the standard westernized norm of what beauty is, and then how media projects those thoughts onto us, and how, you know, companies benefit off of our thought of us not being enough.
Yeah. Ooh, and thank you.
Even being in the fitness industry too, I'm like, you know, this is an industry that should be focused on radical self-love and yes. not benefiting off of people not feeling good enough, because you already are. Like, when I have people come in for consultations, you know, you ask them what their goals are, and 99% of the time it is aesthetic focused, and right. telling someone, like, you know, you're already just perfect as you are, you know. But if this is coming from a place of like wanting to, you know, just better yourself, the idea of like seeing what your body is capable of, and of course when we fuel our body with better nutrition, we're just going to be that much closer to our higher selves, thinking with a clearer mind and being able to show up in the world as we want and not as we think that we should.
Yes. I am so excited that you're talking about this. I'm in a social justice class with Dr. T. Williams right now, and he's talking a lot about how wellness and fitness professionals just like highly underestimate their role to be able to like change the world in this industry. And I also, in the last year, I've been learning more about trauma and becoming more just trauma informed, and I'm just realizing this, helping people to be comfortable in their bodies and understand their bodies, breathe in their body, and just like feel into movement, grounding down, breathing, moving from the core, all these little things is really helping us to recalibrate our nervous systems that is transmuting trauma. And how fucked up is it that we have all this huge diet industry and fitness culture that's just trying to keep us small and keep us hating our bodies, when if we could just move, step into movement, and just come into accepting ourselves where we're at and learning to get to know our bodies in that way, we're going to transmute so much trauma and so much pain and step into this radical self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. I'm just so fired up about it. I'm really excited because I just see that this is the way that the fitness industry is going to be changing. And I know a lot of people that need this and want this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Body and spirit. And like we had mentioned earlier too, just like the overflow that movement does for your body. It's like, move well, move often, drink your water, nourish yourself, you know?
Yeah. And I think that when we can take away all these, oh, sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, I was just saying, like, our body is our home, you know? I actually,
yes.
I did a ayahuasca ceremony for my birthday back in February.
Oh, and yeah.
One of the women had like this download, and she was just like giggling. And she shared with us later that she was like, I was told that our body is like our pet. Like, we feed it, we bathe it, we give it medicine when it's sick, and like we just have to like take care of our bodies, because we don't have a body, what is that other saying? It's like, we aren't a body with a soul, we are a soul and we have a body.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is, it's, yeah, because I think so many of us are just, I know that I was like thrown out of fitness and movement at all, because I was like, fuck, like I don't have a goal. I don't have an aesthetic I'm trying to fit. Like I just like, and I don't give a shit. Like it made me just become apathetic essentially. And I think that it turns into, with some people, like, I hate fitness. That's not me. I don't move. Oh, I don't exercise. And it's like, I really think you'd enjoy it if you were able to approach it from a completely different standpoint and you didn't feel like it was somebody or something trying to force you to change or be different.
Right. And it's also this all or nothing mindset.
That yes.
You're either like a health nut who's going to the gym 5 days a week and only eats broccoli, chicken, and rice. People think that like, oh, I can never have any of my favorite foods ever again if I want to be at my goal weight, or I have to have iceberg lettuce. You know, and I'm just
yeah.
like, it's also like, we live in 2020, you know, like you can enjoy, I fucking love Doritos. I fucking love cookies. I'm bad. I get the Nestle Toll House. I
hey,
know.
Don't say bad. Don't say bad.
Okay. I don't always make, no, they are good choices because they bring me joy.
Yes. Joy is where it matters the most. I just before this, I had a talk with my friend, Melissa Schaefer about navigating disordered eating habits and transitioning more into following your intuition, not necessarily intuitive eating, but navigating that and getting away from all this fear and this shame that we have about food, because that also is another piece that's just continuously keeping us small. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's just like, we're always like kind of like trying to major in the minors, you know, we're like, oh, well, I could never give up that food. So I'm just not going to exercise, or I could never, you know, and it's like, it's that balance again of like incorporating it into your world, you know, it can be where you want it to look. And I would say personal training, a lot of my job is just accountability, because I'm waiting at the gym for you. So if you're not going to show up for, if you don't feel like showing up for yourself one day, you're going to show up for me, and then you're going to feel great when you leave.
Yeah. Yes. You can, just reiterating what you said, you can make it what you want. It doesn't have to look any way. This is also part of getting to know yourself and your own life path. What I call the self-care lifestyle is just finding your own rhythm and constantly exploring so that you know what you do and don't like.
Yeah. And I think too, like, it's just a beautiful unveiling time right now where we're just kind of like, you know, first COVID hits and we're just like, I mean, I had like instantly kind of like realized the levels of like capitalism and how it was like, instantly people were just like scrambling about how to make money. And I mean, I understand, of course, we have to make sure that our needs are met and we're safe and we're fed, but it was also just like this, like, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, we all are like, we have this like addiction to money.
Yes.
And instead of being like, you know what, I'm going to just take one of these weeks that we end up having 3 months. But at the beginning, you know, it was just kind of like, I'm just going to take a second to just enjoy this time and just be, you know, because we're always just like doing. And we're not like just like a human being and just enjoying being here, you know?
Yes. It also, did I interrupt you?
No.
Okay. I'm
come up with words.
I was going to say that another thing that just that the quarantine situation has really opened up to me, just as you're saying with the capitalist stuff, that I'm just like, oh my God, we need to learn more about how to live interconnectedly and what it means to really be in community and support one another. Mm-hmm. Because especially this American dream of every man for himself and like this independence, and that really focuses on money. It's just money. Like, there's a, and I'm going to butcher it, but there is a Native American saying that says, like, when you're, what is it? Basically, you can't eat money. Like, when the rivers dry up.
Yes, when the last fish is caught and the da 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 da, you'll realize that you can't eat money. Yes. Yeah, and we totally did it, but you guys.
It's a good quote. Yes, whatever. It's, but
exactly. I was on a podcast. You're like, how am I doing? I'm getting the nuggets out of this fun conversation.
Oh yeah. There are so many good things. I'm really curious, in the last few minutes that we are still chatting here, how have you started opening up yourself to like this spirit guide realm? Because that for me especially is still so new. I feel like, you know, I went from being submerged in this diet culture and fitness industry and trying to fit myself in all these boxes, moving more into like the nutrition realm, more diet culture. And then realizing like, oh shit, like I need to learn how to trust myself and pull back and really like build my intuition and just flow here. And that's where I've really started building the self-care brand. And now it's really starting, like, over the last year, I've most definitely been having an awakening, and I'm not really talking about it too openly. Like, people know that I'm a spiritual bitch and that I do tarot and I love the crystals and I have a candle burning right next to the computer here, but it's also still like so new and foreign to me. And I don't want to talk about something that I so openly with my community that I am in very much a, not necessarily a messy middle, but it's just like an exploring and learning still. And I don't want to I guess I'm just still pretty shy about talking about my own awakening, and I'm curious if you want to share anything about your own.
I think that that's great, though, because it's for you, you know? And I think that so often myself included, I'm like, oh, better capitalize on this. Oh, better capitalize on that. Oh, I could make a, you know, it's like, oh, how could I turn this passion, this experience into something that I can profit from, you know?
Totally.
It's so real. Even with the HSV, like I started doing support calls and I wrote an e-guide and I even wrote a post about how I, in the end, didn't feel like that was authentic or that was a genuine way to just share my story instead of needing to make profit off of it.
Yeah.
That's great to just like be like, you know what, I'm going to sit with this before I'm like pushing myself to put words to it because I'm just feeling it right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where there's like that fine line of like cultural appropriation too, right? Like white people are just like learning all this shit and wanting to jump on to making it a profit. And it's like, hold on. Some of this shit you literally are not allowed to profit off of. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's also, you're not the first one to like, yeah. Seeing this.
Yes.
With my own awakening, I would say it definitely hit when I went to Costa Rica back in, which is also just such a privileged white girl thing to say. I went to a yoga retreat in Costa Rica back in 2018 and
I love the Valley girl. I love it. There she is. Does she have a name?
Kelsey.
Kelsey. Yes. Hi.
I went to Costa Rica in 2018. I was transitioning from stripping to personal training and I, in the midst of that, took a huge hit financially, took a huge hit socially. Like, you know, when you go to work every day, that's your community. Those are your people. And I wasn't seeing my people. I wasn't getting the money that I was used to. So I wasn't able to go out and do things like I was used to. I moved back in with my parents. I went through a breakup. It was a lot. And so I had a tunnel, which was this yoga retreat, because also being NASM certified, which is my personal training certification, I have to get continuing education. So
same. I'm NASM as well.
It's the best one. It sounds so smart. National Academy of Sports Medicine. So I go to Costa Rica. I'm like broke and tired, but I go, and it was the first time ever traveling by myself.
Oh wow.
And I went to this retreat and it was transformative. It was, you know, you're taken out of your comfort zone of like your grocery store, your community, your family, your home, your pets. You don't have any when you're around people and they kind of like, you kind of not turn into a chameleon, but you're like your thoughts, beliefs,
influence.
Yes, there we go. Not as like influenced by your community, and so you really are kind of like you're on your own, and it's scary, but it's also like exciting, because you know, when someone's getting to know you, there's just no outside pressure. So I definitely got to know myself a lot traveling on my own and doing that yoga training. And then I came back and I started my personal training business. And that also just held a lot of lessons of just like resilience. And then when I came back, we studied the 8 limbs of yoga. It's like Ashtanga, Bhakti, Kundalini, Hatha yoga, and the other 4. And so I was like, oh my God, I love Kundalini. And I got back to Portland and I was like, I have to find a Kundalini studio. And so I've been practicing that ever since. It's centered around a lot of breath work, mantra. There's a lot of sound, gongs, bowls. It's amazing. And so that's helped a lot. And then I found a astrologist that I meet with every year for my birthday. That's really awesome. And then this is like my recent cherry on top, Faye Wolf in Portland, Oregon, y'all. F-E-Y Wolf.
That is our teacher in common.
Yes, that too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, girl, I love her. So I've only seen her twice. I saw her once on my birthday. It was insane. I didn't know what to expect. I thought she was going to just do like some Reiki, like I was going to lay on the table and she's going to wave her hands around me.
Nope.
No, it was like a guided meditation. And like, I didn't tell her, she was like, is there anything you want to focus on? I'm like, you know what? It's just my birthday. I just want to like see what comes up. And I was having an outbreak, and when I, a herpes outbreak. And when I have an outbreak, they're on my right butt cheek. And I close my eyes and she's like, I can't remember the words in what order she said, but to paraphrase, it was like she was going to be sending some energy to my right hip. And I just was like, what? And I just started crying. And she was just like finding all these little imbalances or stagnant energy in that area. And then when I came out of it, she was like, is there anything you want to share? And so I shared with her, you know, it's been having this since I was 17, a lot of shame and guilt around that. Even with me working through it, you know, it's like, there's still that wounded inner child whose mom wasn't there for her when she needed her. Yeah. So we ended up holding my inner child and like speaking to her. And I was literally having a conversation with her. I like saw my spirit guides around me, like, I was sitting on a chair and they were like sitting beside me, laying on my lap, stroking my hair. And I saw that vision. And then she goes, your spirit guides are surrounding you right now. And I was like, I saw that. I just started crying. It was so beautiful. She like called in soul fragments that left my body during that time. It was wild. So I had that experience. And then I actually just went and saw her again because just with all the change that's going on and just how heavy the air is, I was like, went and saw her again. And she is phenomenal energy worker. She's actually doing a retreat, but I'm like, I don't know if we'll be able to go to Hawaii. And it's like a 5-month thing. And then in the end, you fucking go to Hawaii.
I signed up for it. Yeah, I did.
Oh my God. Oh shit.
Do it. Yeah.
Oh, you signed up for it? Sick. Are you so excited? Ooh, you didn't even think about it, did you?
I think our energies have been swirling around each other for a while. And I also had a close to my birthday meeting with Faye. Sorry, the dog downstairs is getting me.
Oh, I'm not hearing the dog, so that's good.
Oh, good. That's perfect. Thank you for letting me know. I have just wanted to work. For some reason, I've just felt really drawn to work with her more, and I've been wanting to ask her if she had a mentorship program of some kind.
I asked her in our last session. I was like, I don't know if I want energy healing or if I want mentorship, and she didn't mention it because then she ended up announcing it. But
yeah, yeah. So it just felt right. It just clicked. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to dive deeper. I
really want to go.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what the situation will be like for Hawaii or whatever, but it's a weekly. It's just to give Faye a big shout out. I'm blending all my words together. But it's a 4-month program, I believe, and it's you meet weekly. 1 week is with her, and then the next week is with the circle, the group of women. And then each month has its own element that we're working through. And I believe that it circles around some kind of indigenous medicine wheel. I'm not sure of all the specific details, but I am very ecstatic. It's, I feel like my biggest awakening, what really happened to me is that I was listening to, have you heard of Shaman Durek?
Yes.
Okay. I was listening to his interview on the Expanded podcast with Lacey Phillips, and he was walking through, like going through this exercise, moving energy, like from my hand, like up through my arm. And I was just anybody listening, not just me personally, but that's what was happening. And I was driving down to Portland at the time, and I just started doing it. And I like could really feel the energy actually moving from my hand up my arm. And I was super skeptical, you know, I'm like, what? And then I knew that he was guiding into like, he was like, anybody can do this here. I'll guide you into like getting in touch with a spirit guide right now. And so walked me through moving that energy up into my arm, I was like, I'm not sure, do I want this right now? Like, I haven't, like, you know, I'm driving this. I just started doing this. Maybe I need to take a pause. And so I did just pause for a moment. And I swear it wasn't like even 30 seconds later, I just got like this overwhelming sensation of just like, I just like needed to cry. And I just felt so like just overwhelming amount of emotion. And I was like, do I need to pull over right now? Like, am I okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I don't know what's going on right now, but this is weird. And it's not a coincidence. Like I've followed enough coincidences on this path that I know that when they arise, it's like, you're on your life path. So I get to Portland, like 40 minutes later, I'm meeting up with a friend at the spa she works at. And she's like, yeah, my coworker is staying after to join us in the sauna or whatever. And we were going to leave and then we didn't. And then she went to say goodbye to her coworker. And I was like, I'm just going to go into the sauna and see what they're up to since I'm just waiting over here. Lo and behold, it's this girl that I had met in a shamanic circle like the year before. And it was a shamanic type circle meditation, but I also just some preface, like I didn't have, like, it's all so new to me. I'm just exploring it, you know? So it was really, it wasn't a coincidence to see that girl, Bree, right then and there at that time, right after I'd had that experience. And I just felt like I could share it with her. I was like, let me tell you what just happened to me. And she's like, oh yeah, you never know when it's going to find you or choose you or whatever she said. And I was like, what? And it's just kind of been like more stuff, just like snowball effect coming from there. And that was, yeah, it's wild. It's wild, but you have to have a personal experience in some way, I think.
I love that though. You never know when it's going to find you. Is your Brie the Brie? She does like sound bowls and her partner does like DJ stuff.
I'm not sure. I don't know this Brie very well.
She's like really cute and small.
She is pretty small that I remember.
Like we have a few intersections. I like it.
Absolutely. I'm very curious too who your astrologer is.
Her name is Alyssa.
Okay, not the same one that I have seen. That would have been wild. Yeah. Oh man, Carly, this was a really amazing conversation. And it went, I just love that it goes all out. Like, you know, we had an intention and we just weaved our own web here.
A little all over the place.
That's okay. I think people enjoy hearing these conversations and they can pick out their own Jesus. These
real unfiltered, you everybody.
Yes. Pick out their own golden nuggets or whatever it may be. And ultimately it's just nice to give people and our communities an opportunity to get to know the real us also more. So thank you for joining me in this candid conversation.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. Good to meet you and hear your voice and all those things.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to tune into our conversation today. I hope that you're feeling empowered, fired up, inspired. And if you're really feeling like you want to dive a little deeper, don't forget, I have plenty of free resources available to you on my website, as well as a handful now of online courses, including an online movement space that will be coming again, reopening this fall 2020. You can also sign up to have your own little candid conversation with me if you so desire, not recorded and in fact completely confidential. I offer self-care consults on a sliding scale, so you can feel free to check that out if you'd like some personalized, judgment-free lifestyle and stress management advice. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me. And most of all, really, thank you so much for taking care of yourself. Yeah, let that sink in for a minute. Thank you for taking care of yourself. The world needs more people doing just that. Cheers to a conscious way of living, y'all, for ourselves, for our communities, and our planet. Until next time.